gather together this morning to give you our worship. You alone are worthy of all worship, all honor, all glory. And so as we bring our worship, I pray that it would be pleasing in your sight. And I pray through your grace that you would come and minister the riches of your grace to every person here and every person watching. We pray, come Holy Spirit, come create a new work, a new life, a renewed life in us today. We submit ourselves to you in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, as I talk to different friends here in Little Rock and talk to friends of mine around the country, I continue to be asked this question, and maybe some of you all have been asked these questions as well. One is this: what do you think God's doing in these days? What do you think God is up to? And the second question is, how do you think he is wanting to use us? What is he wanting us to see? And I'm asked that question like I might have insight, but the insight I have comes right from his word. Because while we are in, I would say, unprecedented times, very challenging times, our culture is changing more rapidly than we ever imagined, and there's constant change taking place in our lives. How do we respond? How are you responding to the change, the things that are before you? For many, our work has changed, the place where we do our work or the type of work. Our family life has changed, hasn't it? We're around more than we have been. Our community has changed. Doing community with one another looks very different today than it did 4 months ago. And doing church on a Sunday morning looks very different than it did then. And in the midst of this coronavirus pandemic that we're in, we also see this cultural stretch with racial injustice at the forefront of our country. And as I've shared before, what this is doing for me, it's not honing on one specific thing, but it's opening my eyes to see the brokenness of this world in which we live. And my prayer, as many of yours, is come, Lord Jesus. Come, bring your kingdom, your reign among us in greater ways. So the question that I'm asking myself, the question I think that we all ought to be wrestling with is this: as followers of Jesus, how do we respond? How do we respond well today? How do we take this moment that we find ourselves in and see God's kingdom come and break in greater and greater ways? You remember at the beginning of Mark's gospel, Jesus said these words that ring so true. He said as he began his public ministry, "The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." He's saying there's a new kingdom that has invaded, that has come into this world. And friends, we are God's beneficiaries of this kingdom that Jesus came to bring in. So what does it look like for us to live in this time well, bringing his kingdom more to bear? This summer, what we're going to be doing in the sermons is we're going to be looking at snapshots of Jesus, stories in the Gospels, where we see Jesus loving people with grace and truth, where we begin to learn what it looks like to engage our neighbor in ways that we might not have in the past. Because when you see these interactions with Jesus throughout the Gospels, one thing that we see happens: lives are transformed. Lives are renewed. Lives are made whole. And the series, the topic, the theme, the title of the series is this: walking in the life of Jesus, loving as he loved, leading as he led. And when I think about that title, in light of the two questions I posed at the beginning, what do you think God's up to in these days? What is he wanting us to see? Friends, one of the things I believe he's calling his church is this, is that we would be all in. That we would be all in as followers of Jesus, not just saying I'm a Christian, but just going on about life, but that we would take a look, a deep look at our hearts, and see, where have I been half-hearted in my devotion to the Lord? Where have I been half-hearted in my care, response, witness out there. Now, I'm not talking about living a perfect life. We are broken people, though we're redeemed. We're perfectly imperfect, as I often think. But it's about stepping up the game. I think these times we have an opportunity to step up the game, to say, Jesus, I am all in. I want to learn and live more fully out of what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus, because I love the people around me, because I want your kingdom to come to bear more and more. If you were here last Sunday or you listened to last Sunday, William spoke and he mentioned this, and it was a great reminder that we are citizens of another world. As much as I want to call this my home, and as much as I build my home here, I've got to be reminded, you and I have got to be reminded that this is not our home. We are citizens of another kingdom. And as citizens of another kingdom, we have another calling, a greater calling. And that calling is to bring God's transforming love and grace to the people that we interact with every day. And frankly, it begins with our families, doesn't it? And our friends, the people that we work with, the people that we engage in the community. We've been called and brought here for a purpose. I've really been thinking a lot about this one passage. It's in Acts chapter 13, verse 36. We read this: "For David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep." Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. It's really easy to read the book of Acts and see the church exploding and growing. But what Luke does in this one verse is he's taking us back to the Old Testament, to King David. And listen to what he said. He wrote, "For David, after he had done what? Served the purposes of God in his generation, he fell asleep." What does this purpose look like for you and me today? How do we rise up as God's people and serve the purposes that he's put before us? Well, I believe it's this. I believe it's learning more fully, leaning into walking in the ways of Jesus, loving as he loved, leading as he led. Well, this morning we're going to look at the picture that Dustin read in Luke's gospel in Luke chapter 7, that we often think of the story of the widow of Nain. In this story, we see a great problem. Well, rather, Jesus sees a great problem, and he comes to do something about it. Now, there's three things I want us to see out of this passage. First is this, that we would begin to see like Jesus saw, that we would look at the people around us. Secondly, that we would begin to feel as he felt. He sees, he felt, and then he responded. Those are the three things that we're going to look at from this story. Now, this story opens with a funeral, doesn't it? This woman was a widow. We're told that in the story. She'd lost her husband. Now she's lost her only son. And I would say one of the great injustices of that day, of her day, was this: that if you were a widow, your life ahead was going to be a life of poverty and loneliness. That was the reality for a widow back in those days. And now she's lost her son, and it's going to be even worse. So let me bring you into this story, this town of Nain. This woman has lost her son, and there's now a funeral procession that is gathered to go with them on to the gravesite. Well, the funerals back then are very different than they are today. Back then, you would get the body and place it in something like a wicker basket, and a great procession would gather and walk to the cemetery where the burial would be. And the women would lead the way, followed by paid flute players and paid mourners, and then a procession of other people from the town. So that's what's going on in the scene. And there's probably around 500 people in this procession going out to bury the son. Well, picture that. And then in the midst of this, in walks Jesus with his disciples. And the text tells us that a great crowd was following him. Now, we don't exactly know how many, but it's speculated that great crowd was probably around 1,000 people. So picture the scene. Here is this funeral procession of about 500 people, and then Jesus comes with his crowd, and the two groups meet. Now think about everything going on in that moment. There was a lot of distraction, but what did Jesus do? In the midst of the noise, in the midst of the distraction, Jesus saw. He looked at this widow, and he saw her. You see, he didn't merely just give her a passing glance and go on, did he? No, he stopped and he locked eyes and he saw her, and in seeing her, he saw her need. You see, one of the things I want us to see this morning is this. Love doesn't just help another person, it sees the other person. It becomes focused, it becomes locked in on the other person. You see, to see someone means that first we begin to draw near, but then we let go of the distractions. You know, there are a lot of distractions coming at us these days, aren't there? Just turn on the TV, and you've got all the distractions of the media, all these messages coming at us. You've got political parties fighting. You've got all of those messages, all of those distractions coming at us. You've got the busyness that we tend to create that are distractions coming at us. Every day we have thousands of decisions to make, and we so often busy and fill our lives with so much. And I believe one of the challenges that we see in this text, as we see Jesus seeing this woman amidst all the noise, amidst all the distraction, is this. It's in the midst of the noise that you and I experience, don't lose sight that we are to be about the kingdom work. Don't lose sight that we are to be about the work of Jesus. That in the midst of the ordinary moments of our day, as crazy as they may be at times, we're called to walk in the steps of Jesus, to love as he loved, to lead as he led. All of the distractions never kept Jesus from being about his Father's work, because he saw. He took time to see. And we see this in numerous places in the Gospels. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, we read this. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus always saw people. Then in Mark 10, 21, we read, and Jesus, looking at him, speaking of this wealthy man, looking at him, loved him and said to him, you lack one thing. Go and sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Jesus was always seeing people. He saw them for who they were. He saw their potential. He was always calling people up. You see, when we see people, we may not always know what to do. And a lot of times we don't, which is why we see, and what do? We just keep going the other way. But I want to challenge us this morning to slow down and really see. See what's going on in another person around you's life. And while you may not know in that moment what to do, the more you see, the more you will have clarity, because Jesus will begin to show you what to do. I love what Mother Teresa said after she had been trying to build a leper colony, and people just kept saying, no, 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 it will never work. It will never work. Here's what she said. Once they saw, they understood. Once they saw, they understood. Once you and I slow down to see each other, to see the needs around us, to hear the cries around us, and enter into someone's life, once we see, we'll begin to understand what God's calling of us. So here's a question I want you to think about for a moment. What gets in the way of you seeing? What gets in the way of you seeing? As you walk in this next week, I want to challenge you with something. I want to challenge you to ask God, and when you wake up, to say, give me eyes to see today. And begin to take notice of the people around you. Begin to take notice of what they're saying. See who God's calling you to engage. And see what he would have you do. Now, to look at people, you know what this means? Challenging, I know that. It means that we've got to let go of control, don't we? It means that we've got to let go of our control over our schedules. We've got to let go over control over our financial resources. We've got to let go of control over our time. Yes, we all have things to do. We all have things on our schedules. But it will make all the difference when we do begin to see with the eyes of our Savior. So that's the first point. Jesus saw people. But secondly, he didn't just see, he felt. We read in verse 13, "And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, 'Do not weep.'" Literally, when it says he had compassion on her, it says his heart went out to her. It was as if Jesus felt what this woman was feeling. Yes, her sorrow over losing her son, but he had compassion on her because he knew what the road ahead for her was going to be like. And it was going to be a life of poverty and isolation. When it says that Jesus had compassion, he literally felt what she was feeling. Now, I want you to hear this morning. That's the kind of Savior we serve. This is the kind of Savior, this is the Savior that you and I come to worship. He feels what we feel, the pain, the sorrow, the disruption, the unease, the uncertainty, all of that. Friends, I want you to hear this morning, he feels that. You see, Jesus didn't come to just fix this broken world. He could have done that. He could have snapped his finger and this came in shape and this pulled together and this happened. But do you know what he chose to do instead? He came with his Father's heart and entered into this world so that he could enter into your life and mine. He came with his Father's heart who sees, who feels our pain, who enters our sorrow, who enters our troubles and bears our burdens. This is the Savior. This is Jesus. This is God in the flesh. And he knows exactly what you need in this moment. We read in Hebrews 4, verses 15 and 16, these words. "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need." The reason why Jesus is able to help in our time of need is because he came and took on flesh. Because he knows what life in this world is like. He knows what you're going through. He knows what is ahead. And in Psalm 68, verse 19, we read, "Praise be to the Lord, to God our Savior, who daily bears our burdens." That's what he does. Now listen, if that's who he is and that's what he does, then he gives us that gift to be able to be that and to do that for one another. As we walk in his steps, as we love as he loved, as we lead as he led. You know, people have been asked, what does it look like to see compassion in another person, to show compassion? How do you know it's there? Here's what people have responded. They said, you see it in their eyes. They're soft, tender, attentive, and concerned. Their entire body pauses and listens, absorbing the feelings of another. What would it be like if you became more attentive to the people around you? What would it be like if you came and you paused and brought true concern? Not your plan to fix, not your plan to say, this is what you've got to go do, but you pause and you took on their concern and you listened and absorbed what's going on in their lives. That's an incredible gift that the church has been given. As people who have been filled with the very Spirit of God, we take that to those around us. And friends, we live in a community in desperate need of being seen, of being heard, where we're not assuming that we know what people are thinking or what they need, but we listen and we bring the compassion of Jesus to bear. And I believe when we do, then we will know more fully how to respond. And this is what we see Jesus doing here in verses 14 and 15. Then he came up and touched the bier, and the bearers stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Do you know what he did? The whole time, where were Jesus' eyes? On the mother. Again, he was caring for her need, and she knew, or he knew, that she needed new life in her. And he brought her son back. It's a picture, isn't it, of the way that Jesus ministers to us. His response to us is always in a life-giving way. I believe our call, as we walk in the steps of Jesus, is to be people, as we see, as we feel, that we would respond bringing the life-giving hope of Jesus right where people are. And I believe in those moments, he will show us specifically what that looks like, because he's ministering through us to them. We don't always know what they need, but as we see, as we feel, we'll begin to know how to respond. Friends, I believe this is a taste of what it looks like to walk in the ways of Jesus for us. Again, I go back to those questions. What is the purpose? What is our purpose for being here? What is the purpose of all this coronavirus stuff and all the things happening in our country? I go back to Acts 13:36. And David, after he served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep. Our purpose is to take up this calling, to be the hands and feet of Christ around us, to invite people in to a renewed relationship with him. At Kimberly's shop, there's always a mannequin outside. And this mannequin always has a beautiful outfit on, so that whenever someone is driving by the store, they see the mannequin in this outfit, and there's an invitation that's given. It's an invitation to come inside and see the beautiful things that are there. You know, you and I are like that in many ways. We bring with us, as followers of Jesus, the invitation to come and see. Come and see the Savior through our lives. He has come among us, and he is still present among us through his Spirit. And it's that invitation that people would be invited to finding greater life when there are so many things that people are running to that do not pay off and do not satisfy. If you and I are going to have impact in this world, I believe now more than ever is our time to stand. Not to be the obnoxious people that so many peg Christians as being, but to be men and women who walk in the life of Jesus. Because as we do, he will shine brilliantly through you. There's a story of a man who was driving his bride on their honeymoon. And they were on their way to the hotel this one evening, and it was just the two of them in the car, and there was a two-lane windy road. And as they drove, all of a sudden, a car coming at them goes out of that lane and hits this man and his bride head on, taking the car tumbling off the side of the road, flipping numerous times. This young groom and his new wife were unconscious in the car. Well, he begins to gain consciousness and comes awake, and he sees his bride there just covered in blood. And in panic, he looks and he picks her up and he just looks around and he sees a sign off in the distance that says, "Office of Dr. Bill Jones." And so he takes his bride and he goes to this house and he knocks on the door, and this older man answers the door and he says, "How can I help you?" And this young groom, holding his bride who is covered in blood, dying, says, "You can save my wife." And the old man said, "Oh, I don't do that anymore. I'm retired." Well, this young groom says this, "You've got two choices, mister." He said, "Either you take down that sign or you heal my wife. You see, if you're not going to heal her, then take down the sign, because the sign's given the wrong impression. The sign is saying that you're going to do something that you are not doing." If you're not willing to stand for what you're going to do, then take down the sign. I think it's a wake-up call for us, isn't it? If we're not willing to stand in the gap, if we're not willing to walk in the steps of Jesus, then how can we call ourselves followers of Jesus? Right? There's a sign, there's a calling that we've been given today, that we would enter in more fully. Our calling is to take up the calling of Jesus. And if we say that we are followers of Jesus, then friends, I believe now more than ever, we must stand up into that and walk in this calling to do what we say we're really about. This city needs it. This community needs it. Because it's only Jesus who brings His grace and healing and hope. And that's the message. So as we learn more fully what it looks like to walk in the steps of Jesus, loving as He loved, leading as He led, may we submit ourselves to the work of the Spirit in us to shine this light through us. Amen? Amen.